Good morning. Thank you for coming out this morning. And if you weren't able to come out, thank you for joining us on the stream this morning. And if you didn't do either of those things, then it's just shame on you, okay? It is. You're the one that's missing out. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway. Not really, right. We're going to continue with our series about the baptism in the Holy Spirit this morning. The title of the series is The Power That Still Prevails. And this is part five. And if you're taking notes, it's entitled, He Helps, okay? So I have four more things, if you will, that the Holy Spirit helps us with as we live our lives connected to Him. How many of you know you have to connect your life to the Holy Spirit? Hello? Come on. How many of you know that you can either live your life with the Holy Spirit, which is God's plan, amen, or we can live our life without the Holy Spirit, which is not God's plan? And the thing is, it's our choice. The Bible tells us that Jesus left this earth for the express reason and purpose of sending His Holy Spirit to this earth. Yet there's still people that say, the Holy Spirit doesn't act today. That was only in the apostles' day. And all those weirdo Pentecostals, they don't know what they're talking about, and it's all just emotion. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. If it's emotion, that emotion has helped me a lot over the years. Amen? Come on. You gotta help me here, okay? The fact that the Holy Spirit comes to your life, and you can accept Him and bring Him into your life to lead your life. Now, don't you think that's good news? Amen? I mean, it's many times a difference between making it and not making it. And I don't know about you, but I want to make it. I want to hear well done. I want to finish strong because the end is closer than it was before. All right. As Christians, you know, it's kind of strange, really, that we would reject this empowerment for our life. It's really almost like we reject, and I'm not trying to be hard here, but it's almost like we reject God's divine plan for our life, right? And you have to wonder, why would we do that? Am I right? Yes. Amen? Okay, please stand together with me, and we will do our Bible declaration today, all right? So that means for some of you that are here today, raise your Bible. And repeat after me. And you see, today, because it's a time change, you know, some people didn't make it. And today, there's a lot of sickness that's going around too. So you have to speak extra loud. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Amen. Because if you don't, I'll probably ask you to repeat it. Right? Okay. You ready? Okay. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Come on, say that one like you really mean it. I'll never be the same. I believe it and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. That was pretty good. Now, if every time I ask you to say amen, if you do it that loud, I'm going to feel pretty good today, okay? All right. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Would you turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse 26 is where we're going to start and where we're going to finish. It's just so quiet. Wave at me when you're there. Okay. How many of you are cheating and you know it's going to be up here on the screen? Yeah. All right. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Gary, could you come up and pray for the message, please? I got him again. He was busy. I love it. Busy taking notes.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you, Lord. Father, we do pray for this service today, God, and pray for your word that it would just hit home with us today. Father, we also lift up our troops, God. We lift up our country. We lift up our government, Father, as we continue through war. And Father, I thank you that we will win the war quickly, God. I thank you for all the lives that are being changed, Father, and all the people that are being set free. Father, we lift Sheila to you, God, and we thank you that you're continuing to heal her. God, I pray right now that you would just give her the supernatural touch, God, the supernatural healing that her body needs, Father.
And, yes, Lord.
And that, God, even now, God, even now, Lord, that she would show it, Lord. She would show that healing, reveal that healing in Jesus' name. Father, again, we thank you that we can be here. We thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is gonna set us free in this place today, Lord. I pray that we would just focus on the message, God, focus on your word, focus on your presence, and that we would be changed. God, send your fire. Send your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. By the way, if I didn't mention it, this is part 5, and it's called He Helps. You know, I can hardly believe that people reject the Holy Spirit as much as they do. I grew up in a mainline denomination. It's fine, Reformed Church. I don't want to put down any denomination. But in the whole time I was there, which was, I guess it was 16 years, I don't remember ever hearing anything about the Holy Spirit. I don't remember hearing that He helps us, hearing that he gets us through this life, hearing that He can pray through us, pray for us. I never heard anything about that. And I know that at the end of my time in the Reformed Church, I became Catholic, okay? Because we got married, and that just seemed like a really good idea, you know, to be Catholic. Then we got saved. And every Catholic took a deep breath, but then we got saved. And when we got saved, the difference between what we had and what we got was amazing. The teaching that we got was just life-changing. To not even know that there was the Holy Spirit, we knew there was the Holy Spirit because the Holy Three in One, right? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But that's about all He ever got mentioned. It was like He was the ugly stepchild, you know? Never mentioned, never talked about. And when I think about it, and after I've been doing this series and realizing how much and how intricate of a part He plays in our lives as Christians, and how I don't think that we can really, really fulfill God's plan for our life without Him helping us. Amen? Come on. Hello? Yeah? I wonder why people, and some people in powerful denominations, just say no. No. No Holy Spirit. Well, in our denomination, in our fellowship, I know we're not a denomination. In our fellowship, yes, okay? Holy Spirit, all the way, all the time, every day. Amen? Are you with me now? Say amen then. All right. The first thing I want to talk to you about this morning is what we just read in verse 26, that the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. Romans 8:26 again says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness or our infirmities, depending on which version you're reading. Okay, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay, you ready to get into this? Are you ready? Okay. The word helps in this verse, it's a really an important word. And I'm really going to struggle with the way this is pronounced, okay? I was going to put it up on the screen and have you pronounce it. But, okay, the Greek word for helps is sunantilambo amahi. Say that with me. Yeah, yeah. All right. But it's a compound word of three words, okay? The word son and the word anti and lambano, okay? The word anti means against, and that's no surprise, right? And the word lambano means to take, to receive, or to take hold of something. And what this does, these words speak of how the Holy Spirit stands with us against our weaknesses and works with us. And he knows how to take hold of them and deal with them, maybe in a way that we don't really know how to. You know, I think about that. And I think about before I got saved, there was some things in my life that I had to quit doing, but I could not quit doing them, right? I could not quit drinking. I could not quit smoking. I could not quit. I knew all these things were hurting me, but, you know, I would have limited success. But I didn't have the Holy Spirit to help me. All right. But this brings us to the word son, which means this, and this is the cool part of this, to do something in conjunction with another person, okay? To do something in conjunction with another person. What this word does is it connects you and I to somebody else, all right? And it paints a picture of two individuals, not just one, two individuals that are working together as one. In this case, the word son connects us with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. So it's not just about you trying to get the job done anymore, okay? It's you and the Holy Spirit working together to complete something if you will allow him to. What am I saying? I'm saying that the Holy Spirit wants to join himself to you. And as a result, he will help you face the issues of your life. How many of you have issues in your life? Amen? Yeah, amen. He will help you face the issues of your life, and you don't have to do that alone. You'll do that with him. How many of you know it's good to have somebody on your side? Yeah, especially when you're going through something. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me confidence that in every conflict, say every conflict, and for all situations, and in all challenges that come at me in my everyday life, say in my everyday life, the Holy Spirit is there helping me. I mean, glory to God. Think about it. And that's really the issue, isn't it? That's really the issue. Being able to cope with the conflicts that come every single day of your life. I mean, it's not so difficult on Sunday to be a Christian, is it? I mean, you can walk in here and raise your hands and praise the Lord, which you should. It's great. I mean, it gives you strength and it brings glory to our God. You can act like you have it all together around your brothers and sisters and tell stories that paint a picture that frames you in a perfect light. All right? And you can talk and talk, but the real issue is, can you walk the walk every single day of the same old, as well as the challenges that you face? Can you do that? Can you navigate the challenges and the changes of everyday life? And I really think that's the question. That's what we have to be able to do. Because when it comes right down to it, that's where our Christianity either stands or falls. Are you with me? In the everyday of the everyday. At work, okay? Around the guys or around the other girls that you work with. In the office or in the shop. At home, at home with your family. At home with your wife. At home with your kids. I mean, am I right? I mean, do you agree with me here? It's in the everyday living of every day. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where it can become difficult. It's not hard to be wonderful here. Okay? It's a little harder to be wonderful when you're at home. The good news is that the Holy Spirit is the one who infills us. The one who lives in us. The one who lives through us, if you will. The one who knows everything. The root of every single problem that you go through. And he knows the solution for every one of those problems. And he knows how to pray about every problem to see them resolved in your life and bring you to peace. I mean, he's there to help you. Why would we reject him? Why wouldn't we take advantage of having this? Amen? See, our relationship with the Holy Spirit is one of relationship and partnership. He joins with us, okay? The Holy Spirit helps us through our weaknesses. Number two, we don't know what the Bible says, or how we don't know what to pray, okay? Now, if you think about this, and maybe you've never thought about this, but obviously I have, okay? One of the biggest challenges that we face as Christians is when somebody asks us to pray, right? Will you pray for me? Romans 8:26, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The person who asks us to pray for them, I mean, they know you're a Christian, right? So I think they just assume, and they kind of take it for granted, that you know what to ask God for on their behalf. But many times, you and I really don't know, all right? We really don't know what it is that they really need. And let me give you a couple examples. Does a person really need to win in that argument that they told you about, or do they need humility in their life? You know, does a person really need that raise at work, or do they need to learn how to handle their money? Does that young person really need to find that affordable apartment, or do they really need to learn how to get along with their parents? The reality is, they need what God says they need, not what you think they need, and what the Holy Spirit can reveal to you and through you. And you know, I think about that so much. We say a prayer, and if we really look at it and we look back, we pretty much say the same prayer for anybody. How do we start? Oh God, be with them. He already is, right? If they're a believer, okay? But do we really know how to pray? The words, for we do not know, means that we lack the knowledge, or that we lack the know-how and the spiritual wisdom to accurately pray for them. Now, the Bible says that. I mean, it says that you and I, it's written to you and I, right? Are we together in this? And the Bible is saying, hey, you know what? You don't know. You don't know. You lack the knowledge. And it underscores our absolute need for the Holy Spirit's input and wisdom. And how many of you know there are times that you simply don't know what to pray for a person? You say you will, but you know, really, really, if it came right down to it, you don't know. You just have a pat prayer in your head to pray for them. I mean, I think we've all been face to face with a crisis, right? Amen? Where we had to make a decision, and we've prayed, but still don't have any idea how to handle the situation. Anybody here like that? You still don't have any idea. This is one of the things that the Holy Spirit comes to remove and comes to rework in our lives. We can know. Say, we can know.
We can know.
We can know. Praise God. What he does is he grabs our ignorance, if you will. All right? Can anybody admit you're ignorant sometimes? Oh, come on, one person, two people are ignorant in this. Okay, he grabs our ignorance, if you will, and he removes it and gives us the know-how when it comes to praying. When the Bible says, for we do not know what we should pray in Romans 8:26, the word what is a little Greek word spelled T-I, T, okay, T. And it pictures the most minute and the most minuscule detail of every little thing. The use of the word T in this verse tells us that there are times when we don't know the most minute, minuscule detail of what we should pray. We don't. And it's true, okay? It is true. We may know the Word of God. Hopefully you do. We may know what the Word of God says about healing, that God wants to heal everybody. We might have a general knowledge of that. But we don't have an understanding of the specific, minute details of what we are to pray in a given situation. And so knowing how to pray and knowing how to pray rightly are two different things. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We know from the Bible that God's will, again, is to heal absolutely everyone. Yet unless the Holy Spirit, the supernatural helper, joins together with us and removes the obstacles of not knowing, we won't always know the specific details of what that person is dealing with. Nor do we know how to pray specifically for them to be healed. Now just listen to this, okay? Only, say only.
Only.
Only the Holy Spirit knows why a person is sick, all right? Only he can see the root cause and what it is. For example, a medical condition, or if it's an offense and unforgiveness in a person's heart. Which is it? What's causing this? Only he knows if the disease they're facing is a result of a chemical imbalance or a demonic influence, or maybe it's a combination of them both, or maybe they're stressed because that brings all kinds of things into our lives. But on our own, we really can't know any of these things. And while we can pray a general prayer that's based on general knowledge of God's word, and that's good, and it's really just, I don't want to say this, but it's just a shot in the dark. Right? This is just a generic pray. I pray this generically for everyone. Have you ever told a person you'd pray for them and then you forgot? But then you saw them that Sunday morning walking down the aisle to you, and you go, and especially our aisle is pretty short. You go, oh Lord, I pray for Bonnie. You know, I pray that she's okay and everything. You always be with her. Hey, I've been praying for you. I never have, but I've heard that's happened. What we have to understand is it's the Holy Spirit who knows the root of the problem and the root of other people's problems. And only the Holy Spirit has the ability to zoom in on those things and fix them. And how many of you know, okay, that in order to cut off the fruit, you have to deal with the root? Amen? You know, you can deal with all sorts of other things that are happening in your life, but unless you deal with the root, it's going to come back. It's just like a weed. You can pull the weed out, but if you don't get that root out, it's going to grow back. Excuse me. The Holy Spirit, now picture this. He knows how to pray. He knows what to bind. He knows what to loose. He knows what to rebuke, and he knows what to request. On our own, we lack the know-how. The Bible says that. With him, we have the know-how. Amen? Glory to God. The Holy Spirit helps us pray. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but I think about that, and I think, praise God, that, you know, that if I would just take a minute when people ask me to pray for them, and if I would just take that minute and just say, Holy Spirit, how should I pray for them? You know, instead of just blurting out the same old pat answer or pat prayer. I'm smiling at Pat. I'm sorry. All right, number three. All right? The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Again, Romans 8:26 says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Okay? The phrase, as we ought, is a translation of the Greek word DEI, day. Okay? Which means as is necessary or needful, and refers to something that's obligatory. So, this tells us, and this tells us that there is a required and necessary way to pray for every situation. Are you with me? You know, God is a very specific God, and the Holy Spirit will show us what that is that we have to pray for. It's wrong for us to think that one prayer fits all, because it doesn't. It doesn't fit every situation. It doesn't fit every circumstance. We need to pray specifically to see results. And I don't know about you, but I like it when the prayers that I pray get answered. Amen? I mean, I rejoice when they get answered. I can even jump around when they get answered, when nobody's here on a Monday morning. Okay? But the Holy Spirit is the one who knows how to pray exactly, say exactly what's required in a situation. That's why we need to yield to the Holy Spirit and become one with him in partnership when we pray. He is our supernatural helper, which is what the remainder of verse 26 reveals, and it is this, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The word intercession here in this passage, see, I'm thinking about having to pronounce this Greek word too. But the Greek word is huperentunkano. Okay, say that with me. No. Which means to fall in with somebody else. to fall in with somebody else. The use of this word here tells us that when you feel you're stuck in a difficult place, have you ever been stuck in a hard place? Amen? Yeah? Where you don't know what to do or you don't know how to pray in a situation, that's the moment for you to say, Holy Spirit, remember from a couple sermons ago, you are my coach and I need you to join me where I am. Come and fall into this situation with me. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit, who is your helper, will connect himself to you. He'll fall in that ditch right with you to make sure you get out. Come on. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that's good news. That's great news. And I really think, now, and I know there's only a few of us today, but I really think we ought to give God the best praise in the whole world, that the Holy Spirit, come on, praise him, will fall into a ditch with us, no matter what that ditch is. Yeah. In addition to the word that I just said, translated here as intercession, it paints the picture of someone who has come across a person, again, who has fallen in a pit. Okay? Who's fallen in a pit. And upon discovering the trapped person, he immediately goes into the pit with him. Say, the Holy Spirit's in there with me. To supplicate for them, which means to rescue them. Why? Now, please hear this. To supplicate for someone means you're delivering him or her from imminent danger. How many of you have been delivered from imminent danger? All right, Serena tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know what happened yesterday? Well, I'll tell you this. I was driving, okay? Yeah, you can tell, but don't, you want me to tell them? Oh, good. Oh, good. Here we are, and we were in, what? I know we were at Bob Evans, but we went to pull out, and there was nobody coming, I thought. But as soon as I pulled out, this person in the passenger seat going, ah! Kind of made me realize maybe I shouldn't have pulled out. But the thing is, it was too close. It was way too close. I mean, we couldn't get out of the situation. It was like, he's right there, you know?
So close that I grazed. That was common. I'm like, okay. So this is what I'm doing. And he stops, then he goes, and we didn't know what to do. And by God's grace and mercy, this is why you plead the blood of Jesus every day. This is why you repeat Psalm 91 that he gives his angels, guarding, warring, ministering, messenger angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands so you don't even stub your toe against a stone. That's what the word says. And supernaturally, there were angels that went like this and said, this far, no far. That car stopped. Even though he didn't stop, there were no brakes screeching, there was nothing. It was like he just went, and we went, and we missed. Otherwise, seriously, and when I'm thinking about it this morning, he would not be here. He would be in the hospital or not here. He would be in heaven, because that's how close that car was to T-boning us on the driver's side. But God.
Two things. Bow your heads and close your eyes. No. Two things. You couldn't hear the car squeal to a stop because of the scream that was coming from the other side of the car. But it really is true. I mean, I pulled out. You want to go for a ride this afternoon? Probably not. I didn't see him. I just didn't see him. I looked. I just didn't see him. But it is amazing what God can do. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we were rescued from imminent danger. In other words, what this is saying, what this word is saying, is it's like you're snatching the person and pulling him or her out of whatever terrible situation that they find themselves in. How many of you know that no matter how bad you've got it, you can find somebody else that's got it a little bit worse, but you can help them. You can help them by praying accurately for them, and the Holy Spirit will pray through you. And that's exactly what Romans 8:26 says that the Holy Spirit does for us. But sadly, when many believers fall into the trap of the enemy, has anybody done that here? Yeah. Fallen into the trap? Yeah, I've heard about it. And they become fretful and they become anxious and they give up hope and they become depressed and maybe even disgusted and confused and they don't know how to get out of the mess that they find themselves in because they're too busy. Come on, say they're too busy. They're too busy worrying and fretting about what's happened to them, and they become incapacitated by their situation, not even thinking about the helper that could help them, and he's right there. Come on. Amen? Can you think of a situation in your life where you should have called on God and you didn't? Amen? Where you were too caught up in the situation? But he's as near as the mention of his name. Isn't that an old song that we used to sing? Yeah, or I've heard about that old song. I wasn't around that time. But what the people that are going through these things don't realize is this, that the Holy Spirit will fall into that ditch with them. Glory be to God with them. And that they don't even have to deal with the crisis or challenge by themselves. He's by their side and has already begun praying and supplicating and that is delivering them out of the situation. But, you know, we got it better than we think we do. In fact, the moment they fell, the instant they fell, he started putting together a rescue plan to get them out of their mess. If they could hear him, if they could hear the Holy Spirit, it's like he's saying, hey, I'm here. Okay, I'm here. I'm going to wrap one arm around you and use my other arm to push against the mess. Okay? And together, say together, okay, together we're going to press against this thing until it moves. And that's the thing about the Holy Spirit. He is so tenacious, it's going to be until it moves in your life, okay? He doesn't get tired of helping you. He doesn't get tired of, you know, putting forth strength for that. He is there until it moves in your life. Okay. But I know, you know, you can be worried about the money. And you can be worried about the conflict or about the sickness. But together, the Holy Spirit says, we're going to push against it until this thing's out of the way, until there's no more having to deal with it. I mean, again, and this is all I can say, and I'm just about done, but it don't get any better than that. It just don't. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. All right, finally. Number four. Through your prayers, the Holy Spirit releases his power, okay? Simply put, when you ask for help, the Holy Spirit goes to work, okay? But the Spirit still needs a vessel that he can pray through. He needs you to give voice to the prayers. Again, the Bible says, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I've heard that to be interpreted so many different ways. The word groanings is a Greek word, stenagmos, okay? Which means to aspirate or to vent or to release steam or to give release and to give release of great pressure. An example of what this word means could be summed up in how a teapot on a stove, how that reacts when the burner's been turned up underneath it. Eventually, the heat of the fire causes the water to boil inside the teapot. The pressure builds, and soon the steam shoots from the kettle, causing the teapot to whistle. Steam is so terribly powerful, people. It is. I mean, it's known to be so strong that it can move trains that weigh tons, okay, down a track, and it can move huge ships across the oceans. But likewise, when the Holy Spirit begins to release his power or his steam in and through your life, he releases this divine energy to move obstacles and the enemy. How many are glad that he can move the enemy out of the way? I don't know about you, but I've tried to move the enemy out of the way. I'm not real good at it, okay? But the Holy Spirit doesn't fail at it. He moves him out of the way. So whether it's sickness, whether it's divisiveness in relationships, financial lack, or any other type of demonic attack. Now hear me. The Holy Spirit's power is greater than anything that's come against you so far and that will come against you in the future. When we've fallen into a pit, and it often feels as though our world is falling apart and there's no way out, the Holy Spirit is the answer. When you don't know the answer, the answer is the Holy Spirit because he has the answer. No attack is fun, right? Amen? I've known that physically for the last 2 years. No attack is fun. But the attacks of the enemy can be especially brutal. And it may look like we are about to fail in the fight. But when we cry out, "Help me, Holy Spirit," you know what happens? He falls into the situation with us, and he begins to go to work in us and through us. And little by little, the spiritual pressure builds and builds and builds until finally it explodes. And you know what happens? That mess that you found yourself in, that Holy Spirit steam, if you will, that spiritual steam, okay? They rise up inside of us. The Bible describes this as what? Groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay, you good Pentecostal people, what is that? I heard it. Tongues. If you feel like you're trapped in the mess that you've created for yourself, or maybe someone else created for you, please cry out to the Holy Spirit for help. Ask him to fall into the situation with you and eradicate your inability and your ignorance about the situation. And show you what to pray and what to do about the situation. I mean, without the supernatural help of the Holy Spirit, you won't know what to do or how to pray about the situation and circumstances that you are facing. It takes the unequaled wisdom and the unequaled power of our supernatural helper, the Holy Spirit, working with you to effectively pray for yourself and every other person you come in contact with. You need the Holy Spirit to pray for that guy, for that lady that came up to you and said, "Could you just pray for me? Just pray for me." He'll tell you what to say. When you ask him, okay, he'll show you what to take authority over and what to cast out. The Holy Spirit sees what you and I don't see, and he knows what you and I don't know. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Romans 8:26, one more time. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You got to know something. You got to realize this. The Holy Spirit is our partner in this life. Okay? He's our partner in this life. And it's him that helps us and supports us to live the Christian life that fulfills God's divine plan and purpose for our lives. It's the Holy Spirit that brings the peace. He's like the conduit. Are you with me? And we can't discount that. And in order for us to be all that God has designed and destined for us to become, we need what he has supplied for us, right? Which is what? The baptism in the Holy Spirit. You know what? And I said right at the beginning of this series, the actual event that I want to come to, the Sunday that I want to come to, is where we would pray for you to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I haven't hidden that from you. I've told you that that's coming. So we're one part closer in this series to that. And I would encourage, you know, if you don't have... if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, then we have a couple of pamphlets out here that you can read. Just read about it, okay? Read about it and see. And please just, if you have to listen to these messages over and over again, I don't care. Just get it on the inside of you. and get to the place where that's something that you want. In fact, I'm going to say it, that shouldn't just be something you want, because that's something you need. You absolutely need that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Bow your heads, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, which shows us what the word says and explains to us what you are saying. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps us no matter what we fall into. And I'm going to pray right now, God, if anybody here in this room has received the teaching that the Holy Spirit is not for today, I just come against that with the power in Jesus' name. And God, I pray that anyone in here who has not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, God, I pray that desire would begin to grow inside of them. Lord, bring to them whatever it's going to take for them to understand, to reach out and grab a hold of it. I don't know why, God, this has become such a teaching that many times doesn't get taught. But Lord, I pray that you would just work in the hearts of all of us here. Maybe some of us need to be refilled. Maybe some of us need to be filled for the first time. But God, I pray, Lord, again, that desire inside of whoever these people are, I pray that desire would just grow and grow and grow until it gets to the point where they have to have it. Because, Lord, you know they have to have it. They need it. They need it. And I pray that in Jesus' name.